Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Ferrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Ferrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the bad seat. Broken a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad actors. Bad taste. Bad law. Bad dude. Bad breath. Bad attention. Bad vibes. We are live in the Ferrell Appalachia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny just rolled up a thumb of that granola funk late night. She loves it with a glass of Pinot in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up. She do, but all my friends that come around, flat to flat to party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tatter. My brain just splattered all over Manhattan. She do be shake out. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Ferrell with Carver High tonight. I'm watching Maction. You got Ohio just scoring late in the game with about 2 minutes left. They're up 23-10 on Akron. They will win, but they won't cover. Also, Kent State in the third, leading Bowling Green 38-10, kicking their ass easily. Kent State rolling, 9 left in the third. And then early in the third, coming out of the break, Buffalo up 14-7 on Miami of Ohio. So you got all kinds of Maction games tonight in college football. And then tomorrow, so three tonight, three tomorrow. Tomorrow night you got Eastern Michigan and Ball State, Toledo and Western Michigan, and Central Michigan against Northern Illinois. And Thursday night you got Colorado State and Boise. So there's games every day. And then Friday, FAU and Florida International. Iowa's at Minnesota, and East Carolina, Cincinnati, still on the board. The amount of games that have been blown out because of the COVID is amazing. We'll look at all those games that have been canceled or postponed, everything tonight on the bench.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, We bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. Carver High, I got to ask you. So Buffalo just went up 20-7 on Miami of Ohio with a run from a yard out. They stuffed in. The refs thought he was down. They reviewed it. He was in. He was in clearly to me. He was a foot and a half over the line before his knee ever touched the ground. I don't know what game they're watching, but thank God for me. Thank God for you that you can sit and watch it and not have to worry about the review. That's like when it's so obvious, the players just, they know, and they've seen it like on the big board at a game, and they just automatically move and change. They know that it's good, and there's no questions asked, and they celebrate and whatever because they know it's going to get reviewed, reversed, whatever. But that was a bad call. So anyway, tell me this story about, and I'll get into all those games. You know, maybe I should mention him now so I don't forget, because I could easily forget. We'll have Kent Sterling coming up from Indy talking about the Colts and their big game Thursday against the Titans in Smashville and the Indiana Hoosiers, number 10 in the country. We'll talk to him about that. But there are, you know, games being canceled. It just seems like left and right for this weekend. Some of the ones, obviously, in the SEC, A&M in Tennessee postponed. Auburn and Mississippi State postponed. Alabama and LSU postponed. And then Air Force Wyoming has been canceled altogether.
There was another one that just came across now.
Arkansas State and Monroe was canceled. What is the one that just got?
I saw another one. I got to find it. I'm going to scroll back now and see if I remember. But somebody just put another one up. When I get it, I'll let you know.
I mean, it is just unbelievable, all these games being canceled. And, you know, there's certainly a fair share of NFL teams having problems as well all of a sudden, right?
There's Minnesota. Minnesota's have not canceled yet, but Minnesota's got some troubles now, too, in the Big Ten. So
the Gophers?
But they're not postponed or canceled yet, but they're having some issues. They've got some kids they got to quarantine.
Can you believe, like, that? I mean, it's the craziest thing ever, right? Like, you can't even explain this stuff and even figure it out or anything. You're just, it's a mystery, but it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Like, you can't even stack this up against anything you've ever seen in your lifetime of just insanity. Like, this thing hit us in March, right? So April, May, it really, you know, peaked, right? It got as bad as ever in the beginning, right? So when they started shutting down the world, it got really bad that first 3 months, right? And then everybody started wearing masks and social distancing and then shutting entire nations down. Forget about cities. They shut down countries. And then, you know, everybody seemed to, you know, figure it out in New York and New Jersey, at the very least where we are, and Long Island. Everybody started figuring it out and following the protocols and doing everything right. And then the numbers, you know, dropped back down. And then, the problem seemed like it was gone from New York, right? And then, and everywhere else has had their own problems. I'm not deflating everybody's situation everywhere. It's been bad everywhere. I get that. From the South, Southwest, the West Coast, the Midwest, Wisconsin, everywhere. It's just crazy. Ohio, you name it. But the bottom line is that I can't believe Carver High, how badly it's come back. Like, we knew there'd be a second wave, but everybody keeps talking about this long, dark winter. I heard, you know, Biden say it's going to be a long, you know, dark winter. I've heard Fauci say it. And the bottom line is the only guy that said there was no COVID really is Trump. I mean, the guy was literally saying we've figured it out. We got it all under control. We've turned the corner. We've, you know, we've seen the worst of it. It's over. We've won. It's a victory. Like, this guy's tripping. So here's the deal. You know, while that was all going on, all that, you know, election rhetoric, which is what it was just a lot of BS.
It's still going on.
Trying to ease people's minds that there was no problem, which is you'd have to be a stupid ass to not realize that there's a problem when it's everywhere now again. And more than ever, it is now, the numbers are bigger than ever. The numbers now in, you know, early November are worse than in March, April, and May. They're way worse. And it's reared its ugly head again in the biggest way. And the funny thing is that, you know, they talk about a long, dark winter. Well, I guess, you know, winter isn't here yet in my world, right? We've been here in New York. It's been whatever, like almost 70 degrees for about a week straight, right? Has it not been like the greatest weather ever? So people are talking about it's going to get bad in the winter. Well, it's bad now, and it's not the winter. It is no more the winter than I'm flying a kite right now because it's been 70 degrees every day. The other day, like Sunday, it was 75 degrees in New York. It was literally September. It was, you know what I mean? Like the Indian summer. And it is not cold here. It is not winter. It's not snowing. It's not, we're not waking up to frozen cars and all the rest like we normally do. And, you know, around Thanksgiving forward, it gets bad, right? But up until now, it hasn't been bad at all. We've had a couple of cold spells where it was, you know, drastically cold for a couple days or something, but nothing that stuck. The warm weather stood its ground and it's, you know, hung in there. Obviously, we know that's going to end and it's going to get cold and normal winter conditions in the east. But I mean, they're talking about it being so bad right now, Carver High, that it's like out of control and it's affecting sports in a big way. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we can't go a day without more cases. We can't go a day without more games being canceled and postponed. What's the difference? A postponed game and a canceled game to me are the same thing. They're not playing the game. When are they going to make it up? You know, they've talked about all these dates, 12, 19, and all this other nonsense. They're just not making those games up. That's what I think. So I cannot believe how bad it's gotten, to be honest with you, with regards to it's not winter. It's just, it's been beautiful out here in the East Coast. No one can even argue that. It's been unseasonably warm and it's just been crazy. People sleeping with their windows open, no problem. It's beautiful outside right now. So when it gets bad, like, are you kidding me? It's bad now. It's terrible now. What's it going to be like when everyone's stuck inside and it's freezing cold outside and snow and ice? What's it going to be like then? Because it's as bad as it's ever been right now in America. It is the worst it's been. Without a doubt, there's no arguing it anymore. We don't have to listen to this guy in the White House anymore. I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care about your politics. I don't care about your left, right. I don't care what you do. So you can have a sandwich. All I know is I never listened to that guy to begin with all of his lies. But now I don't listen to him ever again for the rest of eternity. I'd rather be dead than listen to that guy because I don't believe a word that comes out of his mouth. So I don't believe anything he says about COVID. And, you know, thanks. Can I listen to some people that are, you know, scientists and, you know, infectious disease specialists? And can I listen to the CDC? Thank you. And I'll listen to doctors and scientists. Thank you very much. I'm not going to listen to some fat ass with lies spewing out of his mouth all day, every day, trying to convince people there's not a problem when everybody everywhere is dying. And you know, There's no room in hospitals. There's no ICU beds. There's nothing. They're sticking bodies on trucks out in the parking lot. Who are you kidding? Like, stop with all this lying and nonsense and just conspiracies. And it's the Democrats' fault. It's the Republic. Oh, shut up. Shut your face. And all these games are getting canceled. How are they going to finish the NFL season? How are they going to finish the college football season? You're talking about playoffs and bowl games. Christ, they can't even get games in week to week. It's a nightmare.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell and Avenge, we hook up with Ken Sterling, kensterling.com. He's our insider on the Colts and Indiana Hoosiers. Good to have him back on the bench. How you been, Kent?
I'm good, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in. So I was looking at the Colts schedule the rest of the way, and it is rather brutal. This Thursday night game with the Titans in Smashville, then they go home for a game with the Packers. Then they play the Titans at home right after that. So they're playing them two of the next three games. Then they go to the Texans, go to the Raiders in Vegas, play the Texans in Indy, and that's right before, I think, the week of Christmas. And then on a couple of days after Christmas, they play at Pittsburgh against the Steelers, and they finish on January 3rd at home against the Jaguars, which would be, I guess, even though divisional, a break for them, because I don't really see a break at all in any of those other games whatsoever.
No, the first seven games of the season were really where you had to make your hay. And they were 5-2 after those games. And then it really started to get hard with that game on Sunday against the Ravens. And there's really very little let up, like you said, until that Jaguars game. But, hey, the Jaguars beat the Colts in the opener. So, you know, anything can happen. But this is kind of where we thought they would be. They're going to beat bad teams. They're going to lose to good teams. That's kind of the Colts' M.O. That's Phillip Rivers' M.O. And it's hard to outplay your quarterback.
Well, you know, I thought that their defense, which was, you know, highly thought of for the most part in NFL circles, you know, most of the season they've been fairly, you know, respected and highly regarded, but I didn't think they did much to stop the Ravens at all. They couldn't stop the run. They couldn't stop Jackson. What did you think of their performance in that game against Baltimore?
Well, in the second half, the entire game plan on both sides of the ball went to hell. The first half was pretty good. They gave up 55 net yards in the first half. Second half, they couldn't get the Ravens off the field. The Colts, before they took their fifth snap of the second half, the Ravens had run 24 plays. In the first 18 minutes of the second half, the Colts ran four plays. That's no recipe for success. And if you expose a defense like that, even a good one like the Colts, you're going to have a tough time. Once they get tired and once the relentlessness of Lamar Jackson as kind of a game-breaking dynamic quarterback is sort of brought to bear again and again, all of a sudden that good defense for the Colts started to look really mediocre.
So, Kent, tell me, is there is there doubt about Jonathan Taylor? Like, I know that there's been talk about, oh, the guys are completely behind him. They're supportive of him. All the Colts players in the room and everything else. Is there a negative dash of salt on what he's been able to give him this year? Because I've always liked this guy's game. What's the deal with Taylor?
You know, they've got three that they like really well. They like Jonathan, they like Nyheim Hines, and they like Jordan Wilkins. And if you ask Frank Reich, he likes all three equally, depending on the situation. But Frank Reich is never going to go Bruce Arians on anybody and throw a guy kind of under the bus. That's just never going to happen with Frank Reich. I think there must be things in practice that they're seeing that they don't want to see and that we can't see, because he's just not getting enough run. Whether he puts the ball on the ground like he did against the Ravens on Sunday or not, he's still not getting enough carries. He's not getting enough looks. And that does have something to do with Jordan Wilkins being pretty dynamic, and a guy like Nyheim Hines, who the week or 2 weeks before scored a couple of touchdowns on Phillip Rivers' passes. So this is a running attack where, and I asked Frank Reich today in a Zoom call whether he wanted, and this kind of made me laugh because this is so Frank Reich, but I said, look, would you rather have one guy, one bell cow like Derrick Henry, or would you rather have the three guys you got to kind of use as interchangeable parts? And he said, I like the guys we got. That speaks to the level at which Frank Reich is willing to say the preposterous in order not to upset the apple cart in the locker room and not to call out any of his guys. So even if Jonathan Taylor fumbled every carry he had, Frank Reich wouldn't say anything, and neither would Phillip Rivers. Neither would any of the guys in that locker room. It's just not the way they're built.
You know, I think, you know, the one thing that's interesting that you talked about, he's not getting enough burn, not getting enough load, carries, whatever way you want to call it. The bottom line is that guy was a load guy at Wisconsin. He was all about massive carries, massive productivity based on the more he got the ball, the more he churned out productivity, and the more he, you know, produced and scored touchdowns and had first downs and had huge gains. He was the best back that I've seen in the Big Ten in a long time, since Ron Dane, basically, I guess, that dominated football games. So I just, I'm concerned as to why that hasn't translated to the NFL, because I thought he was going to be a huge star in the NFL. How do they feel about Phillip Rivers? Is he too hot and cold for everyone's tastes, or do they like what they're getting from Rivers?
I don't think they like what they're getting from Rivers, but they have no alternative. You know, you look at his QBR, it's 19th in the NFL. You look at his other statistics, other than average yards per attempt, and he really rates kind of in the middle of the pack or just below that in almost everything. And you, like I said earlier, you cannot outplay your quarterback. And Frank Reich and Chris Ballard are going to continue to say really good things, positive things about Phillip Rivers. And people in the community here have kind of decided they really like Phillip Rivers. He's a terrific guy. He's easy to root for. He's got 9 kids. He never swears. He's complimentary of his teammates. He loves to compete. He loves to trash talk. People here like him, and they want to see him do well. But, I mean, we've seen, and you've seen, over the last 6 years he played for the Chargers, they went to the playoffs once. You know, he's just not that guy. He's not a guy who can lift a team out of the trouble that he gets them into. Andrew Luck was a guy, when he threw picks, you thought, okay, he's going to do something spectacular to kind of get his fat out of the fire. Phillip Rivers is not that guy. If Phillip Rivers doesn't play almost perfect football, if he throws it to the other guy, you're going to get beat. And sometimes in the NFL, you're going to throw it to the other guy, and that's just who Phillip Rivers is.
I don't think there's any question that he's going down the other side of the mountain and that his best days are long gone. And I'm, you know, starting to feel like they have to, unfortunately, because of Andrew Luck quitting, that I think they have to go back to the well and draft a quarterback, don't you?
I do think that, unless Jacob Eason's the guy. Jacob Eason's the guy. When we went to training camp and we watched Jacob Eason, that kid looks like a quarterback. You know, there are just guys where your eyes go to them and you're like, oh, that's a quarterback. Like in Heaven Can Wait with Warren Beatty. You know, you just see it. You know it, you know. And that's Jacob Eason. And he was taken in the fourth round. But you know what? He's got a lot of really, really good stuff. And if he can kind of get his head out of the way and focus on football and do all the right stuff, I think he's got a chance to be a quarterback. And I think part of bringing Phillip Rivers in is certainly to be the best quarterback he can be and lead the Colts to as many wins as they can get. But I think he's serving as a really nice mentor for Jacob Eason at the same time.
Carver, how did you hear him drop that Warren Beatty?
I did hear that. Yes. Nice job, Mike Kent.
That was a very strong effort. So what do you think of this game Thursday night? Now, I heard Rivers say, I think I ran the clip on my show. I could be wrong. Maybe it was Frank Reich. I know I sent Carver High a clip of Rivers saying, I like playing on Thursday nights because if you win, it's like having another bye because you don't play Sunday. You get an extra time to, you know, heal and everything else. You know, do the rest of the Colts feel the same way? They like playing on the short week?
They like playing on the short week, and they like playing against the Titans. They like having it right there for them. This is such a huge game, and it's basic math. You know, the Colts 5-3, the Titans 6-2. If the Colts win this game, they're tied atop the AFC South, with the Colts having a tiebreak advantage through that win, that head-to-head. If they lose, they're two games back, and the Titans have the tiebreaker, and you've got, what do you have, 17 days to get ready to play him again back in Indianapolis, and that becomes a must-win game. I think that this game is for the AFC South. If the Colts win this game, I think they win the AFC South. I think if the Titans win, they dig the Colts a hole that they're not going to be able to get out of.
So let's say hypothetically they were to lose this game. I still think that if they beat the Packers and then beat the Titans in Indy, they could absorb the loss. I know that they cannot absorb three losses in a row here, four with the Ravens. If they lose this game and lose to the Packers and then play the Titans again in 2 weeks at home in Indy and they lose all those games, I would say their season's over. They have to win, I think, two of these three games. And I don't think they're beating the Titans twice. So I think they have to beat the Packers and the Titans. Now, I want to talk about what Allen's doing at Indiana in Bloomington. If you can hang out with us for a little longer, is that all right?
Sure. Sure.
All right. So Ken Sterling is our Hoosier insider as well. We're going to talk to him about what's going on with my alma mater, IU. Good old IU. All right, we're talking to Kent Sterling, and we're talking about Indiana now. We talked about the Colts, and they got this big game Thursday night with the Titans. We'll keep our eyes on that one in Smashville. It's the Thursday night football game. But Indiana, it is unbelievable to me. I got to be honest with you. Do you realize, Kent, that the last time that they were good, that they ever won a game that mattered, was in 87 with Bill Mallory, and I was there. It was my senior year at Indiana. Believe it or not, whatever that is, 32, 33 years ago, whatever it is. And I was there when they beat Ohio State in Columbus. And I was there when, they haven't beaten Michigan once since that. I think it was 87 or 88. It's the first time they've beaten Michigan in like 25 games or something like, I think it was, they'd lost 24 in a row to them. And then what they did, they hadn't won a ranked game against the top 10 team since 87 when they beat Ohio State. So when they beat Penn State, when they beat Penn State, I almost fell over and the game was in, you know, overtime and everything. And I know the call was real sketchy on Penix diving for the, you know, the corner of the end zone and the pylon. But, you know, it could have gone either way. And I think it was hard to reverse the call because it was so close. And when they make that call on the field, they're not going to reverse it. So a lot of people thought he was short. that the ball hit both on the white line and the pylon, but they gave him the call. Indiana wins the game, and no matter what anyone says, they're 3-0. They're ranked number 10 in the country, and I can't even believe what they've done. I just can't even believe that they're winning these games, and they're going to East Lansing to play Michigan State if they get the game in. Can you even believe what Indiana's doing and Tom Allen?
I can't process it. Like, my brain just feels different. It's like all of a sudden I can understand calculus. You know, it's just like I'm living in a different world. My conscious mind can't grasp anything of what – when they beat Michigan, and they didn't just beat Michigan. They didn't win. They beat them down. They hammered Michigan. They dominated Michigan in a way that I've never even dreamed possible. And going to East Lansing as a 7.5-point favorite and almost thinking, well, okay, you got Michigan State, and that's going to be a win. And then we're going to go to Columbus and play Ohio State. I've never thought like this. And I go back with IU as far as you do. I just don't know what to do with myself or how to think in this way about Indiana.
I mean, it is the craziest thing ever. Like, so I'm watching the Penn State game, right? And I'm the only one home, and no one was home. My dog and I are watching this game, and I got to tell you, it's the first time in 30 years that I have just lost my mind watching an Indiana football game, because I'm an Indiana basketball fan, right? I just have never bought into Indiana football, even when I was there. Even, you know, when right. I was there, I covered Bob Knight, and I did a lot of sportscasts about Bill Mallory and the football team. I knew everyone on the team. I interviewed them. They were on my show all the time, but I didn't care about them because even then, like from 83 to 87, they sucked. 87 was the first time they were ever good, my senior year. So I'm sitting there watching the Penn State game, and I got to tell you, I was cussing, screaming, jumping up and down. My dog was barking. When they won, I was whistling the fight song. I was running around my house singing. I took my clothes off. I didn't know what to do with myself. Like, I was so lit watching them win a football game. For the first time in 30 years, I was like so proud of him and then when I saw him stage dive into his football players in the locker room, I was just going to run naked down my street. I didn't know what to think. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so excited about Indiana football all of a sudden that it's like, I was thinking about going online, maybe buying a IU hoodie. I was like, I mean, you know what I mean? I've grown out of all mine. So I don't have anything left from 32 years ago. I have no IU stuff at all. I got like one basketball warm up. That's it. But I'm thinking about going into the IU bookstore and, you know, maybe hitting up some jerseys or something. Get a hoodie.
Look, if you ever have to buy a hoodie, for all the love that you throw toward Indiana University basketball and Indiana University as an entity in a school, something is wrong, fundamentally wrong with the athletic administration down there. Scott Dolson, if he's listening to the show, for God's sake, put together a box for Scott Farrell and ship it out there FedEx. Can I do that for you?
Honestly, they have never done it for me. I was in the same boat.
I was on the back deck watching a game, put the TV out back like some kind of typical Hoosier. And you know, when they went for two, I thought that was just a great thing. There have been so many moments where I thought Tom Allen had a chance to say, you know what, I got you, let's go win this thing. And he kind of didn't do it. But on that Saturday night, he did, and I absolutely loved it. And in that moment, I became a Tom Allen fan. Tom Allen's kind of a quirky dude. Kind of, you know, he wears his heart on his sleeve. He's all this LEO stuff, the love each other stuff, and he's kind of uncomfortable and quirky with the media, and treats the media like he's a little bit intimidated by the local media. And you know the Indiana University media, for God's sake. I mean, these are not people who are, you know, looking to turn the university right. inside out. They're just covering the team, and to be intimidated right. by us, I never understood. But man, that what he's done with this group has been absolutely special so far.
Right. You know, Look, I don't know anything about all that because I haven't been around him. So I know, you know, it ain't New York media.
Right.
So it was really, when I was there, it was really soft is what it was. It was basically Bob Hamill, and Bob was right. The legendary columnist, and he was Bob Knight's good friend. And so everyone else hated Bob Knight, but Hamill was good friends with him. And he admitted that, like, everyone knew that Bob had a relationship with Bob Hamill, and that was it. But there was no other media to speak of that ever got in a Knight's face. They were all intimidated by Knight. He scared them all. They were from, it didn't matter if they were from Lexington, if they were from Louisville, if they were from Indianapolis, it didn't matter what Big Ten media that came to Bloomington, they were all treated the same way. Crappy by Bob Knight. He treated the media like crap, and that was it. And he abused the media. So I don't know what Tom Allen's doing, but I'll say this, that the guy, in my view, what he's done with Indiana football the last, you know, a few years here, even though they lost that bowl game to Tennessee by one in a heartbreaker, and I think Tennessee sucks, but Indiana, you know, anyone can win a bowl game, right? Fair enough. When you get to a bowl game, anything right. can happen. But I think Allen's done a hell of a job to the point where, now I don't know what his contract is. I don't know anything about his status there, but whatever it is, I think they should just lock this guy up. I mean, like, lock him up and just throw away the key and give him that job long term. I mean, literally, I think they should add 5 years onto his deal right now for the job he's done with this team. I know they're going to go to Columbus and get their ass beat. They're not beating Ohio right. State. The question is, will they go to East Lansing and do the same thing they've done to Penn State and what they did to Rutgers and what they did to Michigan? Because Michigan State is terrible. They had a good day against Michigan in Ann Arbor and beat them outright. And I bet on them with 25 points that day, but I still think they're terrible. I think they beat a terrible Michigan team. You know, two bad teams, and Michigan State came out on top. I think Indiana's better than both Michigan and Michigan State, and they need to go to East Lansing and prove it.
You know what? As long as guys stay healthy, as long as you got Stevie Scott, Michael Penix, and Wop Fillier on the offensive side of the ball, and especially defensively with Tywan Mullen and Reese Taylor, the two DBs, who have been game changers. I mean, Tywan Mullen on corner blitzes, getting to quarterbacks, and then, you know, very next play, he's breaking up a pass or getting a pick. As long as those guys stay healthy, I think that they can go to Michigan State, they can win that game, and then I think they can compete with Ohio State. I don't think they can win that game. But this will be, if Ohio State and Indiana win this weekend, when they meet the following weekend, it will be the first time ever that Indiana and Ohio State have been ranked in the top 10 simultaneously as they played a game against each other. That's almost preposterous. They've both been in the Big Ten forever, but Indiana's only been in the top 10 nationally 13 weeks in the history of their program. So this is like rarefied air, but the guys buy in, and it's very, very cool. I think it's a story of the year so far.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they beat, let's say they were to beat Michigan State and go to Columbus, and if they were to beat and shock Ohio State and somehow win that game, they'll be playing, I believe, for the Big Ten championship. And that'll be that. Because if you knock off Ohio State, then you've got to run the tables and play for the Big Ten championship. And I can't even imagine saying that tonight, that they would have a shot at that. Because I honestly don't think that they could beat Ohio State. But if they do, I literally, I might have a heart attack.
Well, you're going to take your clothes off and whistle the fight song. I think that's a done deal.
That's a done deal. Now, let me tell you, in the Penn State game, Kent, not only did they go for two, they went for two twice. I mean, at the end of the game, when they were down two, Penix ran it in himself, and he was in trouble. When he took the snap, he had to juke left, and then he dove forward and ran it in, and then they tied it. And then at the end of the game, you know, they in overtime, they threw the pass, and instead of kicking, they went for two to win the game. So they did it twice. I mean, that takes some serious stones. And I think that's where this guy Allen earned my the stripes and my respect of what he's doing in Bloomington, because they've never been able to recruit like, you know, Ohio State and Michigan. They've never gotten quality, in my opinion. They've had you could count them on two hands, the number of great players that have played at Indiana, you know, literally that stand out. Anthony Thompson was one of them. Was that his name? Right. Was that the kid's name? I thought he was a great player, but I mean, you can't even, I don't even think you can name five great players. Antoine Randle L maybe. They literally name three more. You'd be here all night.
Tevin Coleman was pretty good. Tevin Coleman wasn't bad, but I completely subscribe to what you're saying. Indiana hasn't been a bastion of talent in the Big Ten. It's the losingest program in the history of college football. But what Tom Allen can do, man, he can recruit Florida. He recruits the Tampa area really well. He hired Kevin Wright on his staff, who's got tentacles into the IMG Academy, where he ran the football program for a while. Tom Allen is a pretty cagey operator when it comes to recruiting.
Well, listen, I'm rooting for him all the way, and I'm excited about what they're doing. You know, when I was there, they were so bad that, and when I left, they were even worse. That I, you know, I've been a Miami Cane fan for, you know, 40 years, and I went to IU and I was still rooting for the Miami Canes because I was a bettor and they won me a lot of money. Like, even when I was in college, I was betting on the Miami Canes because I was working at like WB. I had some money. I was overnight DJ. I was doing everything. So I had money. I'd bet on them and I was making money on the Canes like I was a drug dealer, the way they would win games and national championships. I had every Saturday, I knew where I was paying for my meal off of Canes. So the fact that I like Indiana football again, for the first time in 32 years, is a story in itself. Ken, I love you. It's always great having you on the bench. We'll get you on Coast to Coast on the TV side one of these days for sure. It's great catching up. Thanks for all the inside skinny on the Colts and Titans game Thursday and on the Indiana Hoosiers. Stay healthy, my friend, and we'll catch up real soon. Great job.
You're the best. Thanks, Scott.
All right, Ken Sterling. Check out kensterling.com. When we come back, Carver High and I are going to talk bad about people. All right, so anyway, I got to tell you, you can't even argue with me, Carver Hyde, that story of that Indiana football team, I don't care where you live right now, Southern California, New York, you know, Chicago, Denver, I don't care where you are. That story of that team really out of, like, during all of this chaos with the pandemic and everything else and games being canceled and conferences being all out of whack and everything's a mess and you don't know how many games you're going to play, if you're going to play week to week. The fact that they have beaten, you know, let's face it, Penn State in overtime and then, you know, Rutgers and then to beat Michigan, to be 3-0, to be ranked number 10 in the country. It's a crazy story. It really is. And that guy's doing a hell of a job. And no one on the face of the earth, no one had Indiana hanging with Ohio State in that conference at all. It's the same story every year. Ohio State and Michigan are all that matter. Even if there's other Penn State, Wisconsin, you know, they're still trying to sell me Wisconsin. Wisconsin hasn't played football in 3-4 weeks. So like I've written them off in terms of mattering right now. Indiana's been out playing games. Do you trust Wisconsin after not playing for 3 weeks to go play in Ann Arbor? Are they going to kick Michigan's ass?
No, I don't, especially considering I don't know who's playing for them. Like, are they definitely going to have their key players back? Like, you have no idea what they're showing up to Ann Arbor is. And listen, Michigan's been bad, okay? We understand that. They've looked awful the last couple weeks.
Right.
They have talent, don't they? I mean, I know they haven't looked good, but they do have talent. And you're going to get Wisconsin in there basically not practicing for 2 weeks. I mean, it didn't matter for Tennessee in the NFL when they didn't practice. But I don't trust Wisconsin at all.
Do you think Michigan's season's over?
Their season's over. But I'm rooting for Indiana. I think it's great. I think what Indiana's doing is awesome. I think it's great to see a new team.
Do they have a shot in Columbus? I'll ask that question when we come back, hour two on the bench.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.